study today. I've also asked Christine to read some summary passages talking about the worldwide flood, and she will do the reading before we get into the reading in Genesis 10 and 11. Okay, but today's focus is on chapters 10 and 11 of Genesis. All right. Did I turn something off? Projected progress a little later in the 13 weeks of this survey. And we're here at September 11th. We have covered already the material that's listed for up to September 11th, so we're a little bit ahead. That's good. Chapters 8 and 9 on September 11th. Then we got, that's week 6. And then we've got week 7 and 8. We're supposed to begin at 11 during those times. We combine those. So we're trying to get a little bit ahead so that when we get into this bulk reading, which starts next week, by the way, in chapter 12, Genesis, we'll have time to read it on our own at home. And then just do an outline summary of it and discuss it when we come to class. Somebody is hot here. I see somebody panicking. All right, what else? We suspended chapters 36 through 50. That deals with Joseph, and that also gives a little bit more time to do the reading that we can do and talk about some of the chapters. And we're basically going to approach the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that their lifetime and their travels. And of course, even with that, we'll be doing a sketching account in each of the cases. Anyway, we won't cover the material. How's the time to talk? Well, this, hopefully, and I'll try to work it that way, will be a format that will allow you to talk more than you've been talking. I'll be talking. All right. Okay, let's go. This is a slide that I don't know if you have, I don't think you have time to do it. This time, on the left side is the line of Cain. The left side of humanity, the line of Cain. On the right side is the line of Seth. The two sons of Adam and Eve. And in the middle are some events that took place. Mankind called upon the name of the Lord. During Enoch's time, that happened. And then after that, they don't know exactly when, but they started drifting away. This side of the chart started living into this side of the chart by marrying a daughter of men. Some of God's marriage was done to men. And evil takes root during the time of Enoch, and beyond that, Enoch was a man who walked with God so well that God took him, so that kind of sets the stage. That there was extreme evil here, but there was still a remnant that served God during the time of Enoch. Lamech was the son of Cain, was a very wicked man. That's what you see by the reading scriptures there. And so the evil was definitely on this side. He had three sons, Jubal, and Jubal Cain were here. Okay? And then the next thing happened in a process is that the flood occurred, and the Lord wiped that side of humanity out. There was only a few saved. That's where we're at really in our study. That's in the beginning. I know you can't read this, but it's just a listing of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we haven't included their lineage here. And you get lost in those. Although we'll read it. We'll probably do some reading. I think we'll do some reading today of that. But the focus of what we're going to look at here is Shem, the sons of Shem, the family of Shem. Shem, Arphaxad, Selah, Eber, Peleg, Rui, Surah, Nahor, Terah, and then they were finally Abel. We call Abel the first, and then of course the Lord changed his name, Abraham. Okay, next slide. I'm going to explain the next slide before I show it to you, so you wouldn't say, what? I'm too sorry. This next slide is here for the purpose to encourage our readers today who have lots of really difficult names to say. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Give it your best shot. What it looks like is what it is for everybody. Let me tell you why. This is, we're studying about Babel and the confusion of language, right? So I thought we'd just study for this chart. You can see that. I don't think you can. And if you could see it, you probably wouldn't know what it said, unless you happen to be Arabic. But this is Middle Eastern speak, if you will. We've got to remember that the Old Testament was written in Semitic language, in languages that were not even close to English. I'm going to read this, and you tell me, just from what I'm saying, you might be able to. You might be able to tell, which is what I'm saying, where this is located in our Bible. In an Arab, this is taken from an Arabic Bible, but it's still the same word for word as ours. Okay? All right? Y'all ready? The question is, not ready. You have a Yunani, Yeshua, in the Sea, Ibn Daoud, Ibn Ibrahim. Ishaq. Ibrahim, what? Waleda, Ishaq. What? Ishaq, Waleda, Yahu, what? Ikwatahu. What? This English word right here is Matthew. That's Matthew. And this is the first chapter. And this is Yeshua. Do we know who Yeshua is? Jesus. That's how they say Jesus. It's very akin to Aramaic. It's Arabic. It's very akin to Aramaic. So you can suspect that Jesus, when they call him, they can say, hey, Jesus, come here. And he says, Yeshua. You follow? All right. And so, same here. Ba'ud. Ba'ud, what are you thinking of? Da'ud, I almost said the same thing, right? David. Da'ud. Yeshua, he passed the book of the generation of Jesus, the Messiah. He did Da'ud, son of David. Ibrahim, who's ever. Amen. And so on. So, okay? So, don't sweat it. If I say Jephthah, is it that? You say Jephthah? They don't say it that way anyway, do they? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I have to say it. So, okay. Don't get hung up with the word of the name. And I know it's for your hair outside. So. We actually got, hopefully, I think I'll get a hard reading today. But for sure, we actually got part of this chapter. He's going to go through the name. If we called it Sam and Joe, let's go with it. I easy way to do that. If you've got a big long list, you say, you can just say okay. If you want to skip that, which is okay, we all got those names in front of us and we can read them by ourselves. And which you fresh out as you want to. Oh, you passed off? Oh, that's okay. I would do the same thing. Okay, all right, let's go. All right, and here's the map. Do you have that map? Oh, did I give that out to you? No, I didn't see. We have to go in the back. Please take one and pass. I'll take some of the back. I've got a picture of you. These maps, let me say something about maps. Do you remember at the beginning of the crisis? I said, I didn't want us to get wrapped around a controversial thing. We wanted to try to get the. I don't want us to get wrapped up in controversial things, and you can get into controversy in Genesis where the first word came. Somebody's going to say the gap theory, or they're going to talk about their side of you, that the gap theory should be. it's all the way through, especially when we come to this point, there's lots of controversial areas. Now, these maps that I'm giving you, it's a combination of this Brother Smith's map and my interpretation of what the scripture says and where places are. It's just a guide. You can come to me and say, wait a minute, this is not the right place for her, or this is our whole area. But look at the map and just as a guide, that's what we're talking about. And this map up here, let's walk through it once everybody gets it just a little bit. I'll say, first of all, let me read this for you. The Greek form of the name of the Septuagint, Babylon, he's talking about Babylon. Babylon is ultimately from the lady, Babylonian gates of the gods. Now, that word Bab, in Arabic and in Hebrew, it means door. Bab. Bab, how many of our words in the New Testament are God's heart? Babylon, one, Bab, door. Bab-El, El means God. Bab-El, like Bab-El, means Bab-El's house. Bab-El, house of God. Bab-El, there's another one, Bab-El. Bethlehem means praise, of praise, house of praise. Those words, you'll recognize them if you realize now that Beth means house. Anytime you see Beth in Hebrew scriptures, you'll know that means house. Okay. I think it's important for us to kind of realize, like I said earlier, that just The Bible is written in Hebrew and Aramaic, the Old Testament. So those kinds of words are important. Sometimes they're just transliterated into the English. So you'll see the exact wording of the Hebrew. I use Arabic as an example because I know Arabic much more than no Hebrew. Not that much Hebrew, about that much Arabic. Okay? All right. But Bab is the door. El, the door of God, or the gates of God. And there's the great temple towers, the ziggurats. Have you heard of the ziggurats? Ziggurats, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. But it was made out of, these places were made out of brick. You know, three places maybe we do today, in the Bible it says, they made these places out of brick, not stone. If made out of stone, it's going to last a long, long time. Buildings in this area, they didn't have any stone. So they had to build it out of brick. So this is a picture of what the type of tower of Babel may have looked like, at least on the drawing board. I don't know if it's finished, but I don't think we did whatever they were going to do. Okay? So it was made out of probably like those ziggurats, and it was made out of brick. Okay, the controversies, now map controversies, you get into the genealogy controversies, who's the son of who, we get into map controversies about is this place where it was, or is this place where it was? Is that the right name of this place? Excuse me. Okay? I almost feel afraid of this myself. I wanted to find out exactly. I wanted to know where the Tower of Babel was. So good luck with that. Okay. I got two or three different opinions. One is when this era is somewhere. It's actually somewhere here. Another place is up here, designated as Babylon. Another says it's over in Syria, which was the place. And these are different ideas of where the Tower of Babel was built. Okay, what else? What's the significance of the Tower of Babel? I threw this in because we're talking about maps. And this is the Rift Valley. This is big below by the blue. You see how that big rift goes down through by Saudi Arabia down there, and the Red Sea is here, and you go all the way down to Madagascar in the continent of Africa. That's a fault line, and that's a place where earthquakes very often happen. And you know, we're about Pele in our meeting today. There was an earthquake, and lots of theories are that was a part of this Madagascar coming off here in Pele today. We don't know that. So that's just that. Anyway, to know that, you know, in the Middle East there is a lot of fall lines. Now, do you have any other maps in your? Fertile Crescent. Can anybody tell me what the Fertile Crescent is? And you look at the flavor of Wondering
where the crops grow better.
That's good. Exactly. It's where it's in the shape of a crescent. If you look at, do I have that? But if you look at Japan now, you know, Okay. It looks like a crescent if you look at the curve itself. It's kind of darkened up. What's the one here? Can you find that? And the small version I passed out for you. That's the name that they give this area of the Middle East. It's fertile. And obviously, since it's so fertile, a lot of people live there. A lot of permanent commerce happened there. A lot of wars happened there. And war came to that area. So it was the center of what was going on in the world. Genesis highlights what we're going to read here a little bit. In Genesis 10, we're going to read the sons of Noah, about Japheth, about Ham. Nimrod, called the first monarch. He was the one who built a lot of the cities in the area, famous for his buildings. And then the descendants of Cain, and the son of Shem. That's the first guy I'm reading with. We need to keep that under our belt, so we're going to jump into that. And then the next chapter 11 of Genesis, one world language is presented in the outline. And I put it here, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? They must have been building away, right? Maybe they haven't. Maybe they didn't hold them such that somebody said them exactly, I can hear it. But because the Lord confounded their language.
Yeah.
And then he came to think, damn, I don't want to stuff to the but what did he say? He said, they may be able to do whatever. Actually, whatever they bring up. Well, I'm going to confound their language. Obviously, the Lord had this in his knowledge and foreknowledge beforehand. But can you imagine if they had the ability to be able to understand each other in every word and every thought and every sentence as an indication of it? But what part is it good enough? What could we do to that? In fact, our ability to understand each other's language is leaps and bounds above what it's ever been before, and there is much more progress to talk about. But yeah, I wonder if the Lord, with part of his plan, he's thinking, they're going to go off into something that's, not good for the spirit. But anyway, he confounded their language. Now, the opposite of it, this is a Titanic type situation. What happened on the day of Pentecost? They understood everybody and engulfed their own language. So that was a miracle that took place to show that the Lord is in charge of overall language. Okay? Now, did they all, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, was that only the three languages that occurred at that time? We don't know. But Shem had, probably had his language, and that seems to be the trend. If you look at languages now, there were three different ones down the wood side. Okay. All right, we're begin reading chapter 10. These are the generations. Okay. Others instead of the confusing. Okay, let's go ahead and go back now and pause this. We're chapter 11, going into the reading process. And we'll go back and ask that you read Christine. Everybody's got this handout. I know Christine's had your phone. Okay, we're going to read that just to remind us, and I promise you've done it before, so I've got to do this later. But the flood, they really covered the whole word. I'm going to read the first page, and then I'll let the people. Some scholars have taught that the flood was local and did not cover the entire earth. But when words can have more than one meaning, the context must define its true meaning. In Genesis chapter 6 and 10, the context is one of global flood, not just a lot of local water. In these five chapters, words and phrases of the global scale are used more than 30 times. In every instance, the primary meaning is global, or in totality. When these words are found in such close proximity, the meaning is unmistakable. This was the world by a flood. Now, I've got some examples of the evidence here. I'll just give you one of them. Of the evidence. Fossils of sea creatures high above sea level due to the ocean waters having flooded over the continents. We find fossils of sea creatures in the rock layers. Also, in Saudi Arabia, when I was there, I was kind of, wasn't thinking, I'm walking in the middle of the Rub al Khala, which is the empty quarter. Sand, nothing but sand as far as the eye can see. And I'm walking along, and guess what I find? Seashell, obvious seashell. Another seashell. All kinds of things from the ocean. How in the world did they get those things? Did the science officer not try? I'm all over here from the, no. It's a global problem. And that water travels was pressed over the ocean back and forth, all the terminal from the oceans and dump. So that's an example that this is a world by flood. Okay. And let's look just look at other places. There's a lot more than that. Now let's go ahead and read Genesis. I've got some more to read right here. In the Genesis account, Noah's flood, the word is phrased to describe the event, paint the picture of the meaning of the Lord after the passage. Following verses should leave a Bible student with no doubt about the huge, powerful world by flood.
I'm reading from the NIV. Tall Valley. Now the whole world had one land and a calm sea. As people moved eastward, they found plain in Shinar in southern Valley. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar, the marble, the mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a power that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth, of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city of the tower, people were built. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down. So they did not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord completed the language of the whole world, and there the Lord scattered them further. This is the account of Shem's family life. 2 years after flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Apep. And after he became the father of Apep, Shem lived 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Apep had lived 39 years, he became the father of Shelah. And after he became the father of Shelah, Apep lived 403 years and other sons and daughters. When Shelah had lived 30 years, he became the father of Eber. And after he became the father of Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 34 years, he became the father of Eber. And after he became the father of Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he became the father of Reuben. And after he became the father of Reuben, Peleg lived 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reuben had lived 32 years, he became the father of Sarah. And after he became the father of Sarah, Reuben lived 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Sarah had lived 30 years, he became the father of Nahor. And after he became the father of Nahor, Sarah lived 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. And after he became the father of Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and Upan had other sons and daughters. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abel, Nahor, and Haran. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah. And that's Sarah. I know something from Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishmael. And Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died.
Okay, so names that are familiar kind of start coming down. That's Neph and Nephesh and Malchim. Sons of Shem, the sons of Shem, the family of Shem. Let's just take a couple of seconds. Well, the word of Eber. What is our name here? Eber. Which word the name of Eber come from? Eber. We don't pronounce the H in this. The man in the nation, the case that being the Hebrew, are all in the same category. So the Hebrews are named from the Hebrew. And Peleg is the one that didn't say here in Southwest and Bible, but it was a great earthquake here in these days. Well, know anything about this one? I don't know anything about it. But anyway, maybe that's the time to say anything like this. It's also a sinner of Nahor, we're getting closer now to what we're going to be studying. We've got 29 years of father Terah. Terah is the father of whom? Abram. Now we're in the ballpark where the name so should be being committed. We've looked at thus far Genesis 1 through 11 in a very sketchy way, and hopefully we've got the down end of the week enough to make it interesting and make some things you picked out thus far. And I think we'll have more opportunity when we go up through chapter 12 through not 50, but in this case 35, to look at the lives here and pick out things that I picked out for the most of mine. I didn't know that. This is about the statement. I have one already that I was supposed to give to you a week ago about. I didn't know that was in the Bible, about 120 years.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you bet. So when we start, we'll have it covered. Okay. Next week, I can't go back. I can do the jump. Well, next week, please read chapter 12 through 25. That's about the end. Okay. Now, we've got 5 minutes for you to say anything, you're calling back. Go ahead and bring up anything that you said at the time I say.
I always found Tower of Babel very interesting because of the fact that these individuals thought that they were going to build a tower and they could all understand each other's language and talk. That's why you get the term Babel, you just babbling on. Well, that comes out of the Babel.
Yeah.
Because it confused them so that they would no longer be able to understand one another.
Where all these different languages
come from.
Why did they say they were doing it? So, to begin to make an
argument. Name for ourselves.
Okay.
And God wouldn't it?
One of the things out of that particular story is that the areas within that are not recognized fully of the sex. Okay? Look at what God says about what's going on. There's four things. Okay? First, it talks about unity. If that is one people, okay? He also talks about that they're speaking the same language. They're all on the same page with one another, okay? They have a plan, okay? Nothing they plan to do, okay? So they have a plan. And third is they have the plan to do it, so they start.
That's a great story. We're going to reach that before that is straight for us.
God recognizes that, and that if they were doing that, they would be successful at whatever they were doing.
I didn't know that.
A lot of people that have read the story carefully seem to think that God used the language because they were building a tower in heaven. Because if they could reach heaven by building a tower, if you read it, that's not the line he did.
Good conversation. Again, we're going to get you the conversation over. Thank you very much.
Good job.